Next up, I have an interview with both a director and his subject. It's a very interesting documentary called Severe Clear. And it comes out March 12th, and it'll be playing at the Angelica Theater. It was shot in first person by First Lieutenant Mike Scotty on his mini DV camera, and it's told through his journal entries. Christian Fraga is the writer, editor, and director, but it's essentially all about his deployment into Iraq following the events in the year or two after 9/11. It's a moving and powerful documentary, and because it's told in first person from someone who was there, who was in the action, who was there during the fighting, it's just a very, very moving and powerful statement about war and its effects and what happens. It's it will bring to mind, I think, Oliver Stone's great film, Born on the 4th of July, but it's not a narrative film, but it feels that way because it's told in such a clear, structured narrative way. I got a chance to speak with both Mike Scotty and Christian Fraga about making this film and what the experience was. How did you two meet? Was there any difference that you both had in your views of the war at the time?
Well, first, this is Christian, the director, talking. It was actually pretty fortuitous how it all came about. Mike was back from the war with a bag of mini DV tapes. This is 2003. He decided he needed to kind of condense, instead of carrying around 20 or 30 mini DV tapes, he wanted to find a young filmmaker to kind of edit it together, almost like a highlight reel to show people. And he decided, let me go to NYU. Let me see if I could find a young film student. He talked his way past the security guards, and he's walking around the halls of NYU. And luckily, he bumped into one of our interns at the time. I have a company. I'm a graduate of NYU, so I get a lot of interns from NYU. And he and our intern got to talking, and next thing you know, Mike and I were sitting down, Mike and my producing partners, John Sykes and Mark Perez. And, you know, it was like 0.5 seconds to see that his was a story that I really was passionate about telling. And I saw the videotape, and, you know, boom, 5 years later, we have the film that's coming out. And politically, I guess we're definitely have different points of view about the war. I was not for the war, but to me, the making of this picture, that was the political aspect of it was irrelevant, because what I was interested in was getting into the heart of what these men go through, whether we agree with it or not. My idea was to give the audience, to whatever degree possible, a point of view of life for Mike Scotty and these Marines who were part of the invasion.
All right, Mike Scotty, I got a question for you now. Now, I have friends who are Marines, so I have a sense of perhaps your mindset. So my question to you first is, what made you want to be in the military, and then what made you want to record what was going on with you being deployed and everything?
I've wanted to kind of be in the military since a very young age. I think it was just part of my DNA, and it wasn't because of anything that was like forced on me or anything like that, but I just always kind of gravitated towards, having BB guns as a kid and watching movies like Full Metal Jacket and Platoon kind of growing up. So it was just kind of a natural interest that I had. And then I had a cousin who's about 4 years older than me, who ended up joining the Marine Corps. And we went to his graduation from Marine Security Guard School. He was going to be an embassy guard. That kind of was the, that was the clincher right there. Just, they just seemed very professional, and, it just seemed like an organization that I really wanted to be a part of. So it was not only just wanting to be in the military, I just wanted to be a United States Marine, and kind of that personal challenge to see if I had what it took to, to put the uniform on. As far as recording everything, that's just another thing that's just, it's part of who I am. I like to tell stories, and I like to record, events and take pictures and, that type of thing. And I was originally going to write a book, having read, growing up about, Vietnam and World War II and a lot of the personal accounts that were out there. I said, well, this will be my war. Maybe I'll get to write a personal account. And I was really going to use the video camera as more of a video diary to, work off of as I was writing the book. So that's kind of where it kind of grew out of.
And interesting, as a counterpoint of the differences. I, you know, when I grew up and I saw films like Platoon, Born on the 4th of July, Full Metal Jacket, Apocalypse Now, those movies shook me and, you know, and almost scared me. Where, you know, where for Mike, you know, he can recite every line of Full Metal Jacket, and he came at it, you know, at a completely different angle. So that was actually an interesting dichotomy between the two of us.
That is interesting. All right, now let me ask you another question, and this is for Mike. Well, actually, this is for both of you, and you can answer in whatever order you want. Now, in the credits, it's listed as written, edited, and directed by Kristen Fraga. Now, to me, because I know what it takes to put together a documentary, and I can only imagine what it was like to sift through hours and hours of videotape to put into something cohesive, I'm also curious... about you, Mike, in terms of, you know, the diary is written by you. I can understand what, you know, you needed somebody like Christian to put that together, to direct it, and essentially documentaries are written. There is an outline of how you're going to put it together. Tell me about how you split, you know, who takes credit for what, and where you as a subject ends and you, Christian, as a director, writer, begins.
I mean, you can...
Yeah, I mean, as far as...
No, wait, tell me who's talking each time.
So, I'm sorry, this is Mike Scotty. So really, you know, it was almost like I dumped everything that I had inside my head and, you know, that I captured digitally or whatever off on Christian in 2003 and 2000. We contacted other buddies of mine that were in the unit that also had video cameras. One of those who is actually back with the guns, you know, back with the actual howitzers, you know, behind us. And then Christian basically locked me in a room for, you know, several weeks in 2004 where I would show up every day and just write. And we had an assistant there, and it was almost like stream of consciousness. It ended up being like 200-plus pages of, you know, because I started the book when I first got back. But, you know, really just got everything down while I'm still fresh. They had, you know, like 40 rolls of film, you know, of pictures to kind of sift through. You know, and then their personal journals, which was, you know, in several different kind of notebooks that I'd used, The Call for Fire, which was written on scraps of paper. They were kind of all over the place. So it was really just getting the whole story kind of in one huge space, you know, it was all different formats. So then Christian took a year to kind of sift through that and archive all the footage and start building the actual outline for the film.
Yeah, it's almost like, you know, when you have, you know, you're doing a movie about a book, really. You know, there's a screenwriter who has to take that material, that dense material that's a book, and really narrow it down. So my focus is, you know, it's 93 minutes. I have to reduce Mike's entire experience in 93 minutes. And, you know, whether it was from pieces of letters or journals or, you know, I interviewed him extensively in something he said or something I found in the footage. The whole idea was, how do you take this random, certainly the footage, it was never intended to be a movie, you know, it was somebody's home videos, and how do you structure that into almost a classic narrative? And for me, I'm a filmmaker, you know, so one of my major things that I had to do is I had to write a screenplay, almost as if it were a narrative picture, and I had to come up with the plot beats, and I had to come up with the, you know, I did it in a very traditional three-act structure, and that was the backbone of this film, and that's really what dictated how the picture was put together, because it is random footage. Like you said, you can totally understand having to put something together, especially when it's somebody's home video. So the screenplay was the key to the foundation to getting the film to work.
Well, that makes a lot of sense to me. Now, my other question to you now, Mike, going through this experience of not just... being in the war and being deployed and all that you went through, and not just shooting the footage, but then sitting and living with it for the last 4 or 5 years, having to express your thoughts, your feelings, having to plumb the depths of, I'm assuming, your soul, and then have it distilled by someone who can turn it into a narrative like Christian. What was that experience like for you, and what did you learn about yourself through this whole experience?
You know, that's actually a great question. I almost view it as a you know, a cathartic process that has really almost been like therapy for me. And kind of the key was to having Christian force me to sit down, like almost like an external form of discipline, and just write everything down.
film was completed, and I really see it as a chapter in my life that ended, you know, several years ago, and I've moved on. You know, once really 2004 was over, I really started to move on, and I kind of started a new life, and I, you know, went back to school, and so it's been a great way. It's given me closure for the whole process, and now I kind of use it as a source of strength, not only taking lessons that I've learned from the war, you know, about both myself and just the way to do certain things, like accomplish a mission or run an organization or manage a business or whatever it, you know, might be, that, you know, the civilian application of what we'd be doing. That now I think this film can be used to help other veterans who are out there, and even, you know, almost more importantly, the families of veterans who are out there. Yeah, so that they can, you know, so the families have an understanding of what it could be like to be in a war, and that can facilitate discussion. That also has come out through the Q&As and a lot of the different screenings where, you know, in the audience you'll have, you know, veterans who served in Iraq or veterans from Vietnam or people that are on one end of the political spectrum versus the other, or people who are parents of children that are over there fighting, and just feeling their energy and kind of having that shared experience of watching the film together and then having them ask me all these questions. Very, very, very interesting experience.
Next, I got a chance to speak to Pierce Brosnan, who is currently in two films and has three more coming out this year. He's in Remember Me and The Ghost Rider, which is the new Roman Polanski film, which I enjoyed quite a bit. It's a thriller, and it's definitely a good conspiracy political thriller. Pierce Brosnan plays the Prime Minister, and the character he plays can very, very easily compared to Tony Blair, because he plays a former Prime Minister of England who is having issues now with things that he did during his tenure as Prime Minister. I got a chance to speak to him about creating this character and working with Roman Polanski.
So tell me about playing an ex-Prime Minister. Was there anything that you could draw upon to help create this character? And what are your thoughts about an actor and the politician? Do you think there's some relation there?
Well, first of all, when I got the invitation to be part of this production of The Ghost, or The Ghost Rider as it's now known, by Mr. Roman Polanski, my interest level was very piqued. I was very excited and pleased to get such an offer from Mr. Roman Polanski. And then when I sat with him across the table for lunch one day, my first question was, am I playing Tony Blair, because all indication and all roads seem to lead to one man only, and that's Tony Blair. And he said, no, you're not playing Tony Blair. However, I have to start somewhere as an actor, and I looked at the performance of Tony Blair as Prime Minister. I looked at Tony Blair in public interviews, and I was liberated somewhat by Roman saying, I'm not playing him. So where does that leave me? Well, you go back to the text and you look at what Mr. Robert Harris put down on the pages of his novel. And here is a young man that comes from Cambridge, comes down, he's an actor, he becomes a politician, a populist. So then I go back to me as an actor, playing a politician. And so it goes. Then you have to find the emotion of the piece, and then I look at the relationship with my wife, played by Olivia Williams. And then I began to look at her character, and it's somewhat like Lady Macbeth. None of this was spoken of with Roman. None of this was spoken of with Olivia Williams. All of this was just imagination and the ambiance that Roman creates on a set. And as the piece, as I worked on the piece, and the weather that is all prevailing in Polanski movies, and certainly prevails like a shroud of gloom and foreboding in this film, that gives you a certain sense of aloneness, exile. You begin to look at the movies of Polanski, from Knife in the Water, Repulsion, The Claustrophobic, Ménage à Trois. All of these give you a character, and for me, then it was something like a Jacobean tragedy or a Shakespearean drama. And with all of that, all of those bits of ingredients, you step forth and give it best effort, and then you get a lot. You get so much. You get a lot for nothing. The stuff you get that your character is giving you, your performance is giving you, by the whole structure of the piece.
Can you tell me a little bit about working with Roman Polanski?
Very intense fellow, very passionate man, very intelligent, very erudite, and I had the greatest time working with him. He's a taskmaster. You want to do the best for the guy. I think the actors, Olivia Williams and myself, those are the actors that I was closest to in this, and Kim Cattrall, we all felt a sense of electricity every day on the set, because he's so specific and he's so demanding on everybody's on everybody who's participating in the day's work. The lens is always close to his hand. He has a viewfinder that I was sitting there one day and I looked at it, and it was this ancient piece of antiquity, it seemed, that was burnished by time. All the numbers were worn off it, and that's the lens which he has around his neck or close at hand in his pocket. So he's always figuring out the shot and what the emotion of the actors are giving in the space of the room or on the landscape. So he has this there's sometimes a franticness to his energy and to his passion, and he's trying to capture that spontaneity of performance with the lens. So you have to be on your toes, and then when the curtain comes down at the end of the day, there's a very charming man there who's, you know, we'd sit and have drinks or a bite to eat, and talk of family, talk of love. He was kind of mischievous, you know, and I think that's in his filming, sense of humor and irony and the twist of an Irishman playing the ex-British Prime Minister, ex-James Bond, you know. I love it, you know, I love it. I thought that was ironic and quite delicious, because not an obvious choice.
The Ghost Rider is currently in theaters. Also, I want to mention a few things that are on DVD, a couple that have just come out. Where the Wild Things Are is on Blu-ray right now. Fantastic. You need to see it. You need to see it on Blu-ray. Another very interesting indie film called Gentlemen Broncos by the same filmmakers who made Napoleon Dynamite. And a couple of other films that I think of note that have just come out on DVD about a week or two ago. The Informant with Matt Damon, which is Steven Soderbergh's great off-kilter. It's really hard to describe. It's sort of it's based on real events, and it's just one of those movies where you have no idea what's going to happen next, but I really highly recommend it. Also, a really, really good film called The Damned United is out, and Clint Eastwood, 35 films, 35 years. I mean, if you're like me, a fan of Clint Eastwood, it's just, you know, it's just amazing to see what he's done in 35 years at Warner Brothers, and it comes with a book, excerpts from a larger coffee table book that I will be doing an interview with the author of that coming up in the next few months, because along with the excerpts from the book, there's excerpts from a longer documentary on the life of Clint Eastwood. So, if nothing else, I'd recommend it just for that. So, watch out for my Richard Schickel interview coming up about Clint Eastwood and the life of Clint Eastwood. Also on DVD is the great Miyazaki has his film from last year, Ponyo is coming out on Blu-ray. Ponyo is basically a retelling of The Little Mermaid, done from a just great, wonderful Miyazaki and Japanese anime perspective. I'll be on the end of the month on the 31st again with Real World, and until then, stay tuned.